We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Comic book characters are known for possessing awesome abilities outside of the scope of humanity. Superman is a Superman, possessing the ability to fly, super strength, and freeze breath. Thor possesses the power of a god and commands thunder and lightning. Cyclops emits a powerful energy beam or optic blast from his eyes. The Flash has super speed, and in modern-day representations, can slow time down around him by moving so quickly. All these characters have great abilities, but what about you? What's your superpower?
Welcome to the first week of our superpower series. My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm lead pastor here at Redemption Church, and I want to welcome you here today. I'm so glad that you're here today. Not everywhere you go in life are the people actually glad you're here. We are glad you're here. Look around. Tell somebody, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Yeah, even you, Jonathan, of church back there. I'm glad you're here. Even you. I'm excited to be talking about one of my favorite topics. No, I'm not talking about free will versus predestination. I'm not talking about pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib rapture debate. I'm not talking about all that stuff. Our subject today is one of my favorite subjects. It's comic book superheroes. When I was about 5 years old, I was dreadfully sick, and my mom hauled me to the doctor's office. I hated being at doctor's offices. I especially hated the wait at doctor's offices. You're feeling so terrible, and it's like you're waiting, and it feels like hours before you go in, and I'm just in this terrible place. I don't want to be there. I just want to be, I probably at that moment, I didn't even want to exist. I was feeling so bad. But I looked over, and in that waiting room, I saw a stack of something I've never seen before, a stack of Spider-Man comic books. That was the first time I'd ever seen a comic book in my life. And suddenly, I didn't mind being in the doctor's office so bad. I was just poring over that. I was looking for reasons to go back to the doctor's office, actually, to catch up on Spider-Man. Now, maybe you're not interested in comic books, or even comic book movies, or even the TV shows. I mean, they've got the trifecta. If you don't like the comic books, you might like the movies. If you don't like the movies, they even have, what is it, Secret Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., whatever. They have TV shows. I mean, everywhere you look right now, comic books are a big deal. So maybe you hate all of that, and you're like, bah, humbug, I don't like that. Okay, but I guarantee you this. I guarantee you that you have thought about what it would be like to have superpowers. Even if you can't stand comic books, I guarantee you, still to this day, even as being adults, you think about every once in a while, what would it be like to be able to fly like Superman? What would it be like to be able to swing from webs like Spider-Man? What would it be like to do these super things? As a kid, you daydreamed about superpowers, and even today, we still think about it, how cool it would be. As kids, we all thought about having superpowers, but then we feel like we matured, right? That term of maturing. But maybe we weren't supposed to stop dreaming about superpowers. Maybe that's not such a childish thing. Maybe that's actually something you need in your life right now. You need some supernatural ability. Life isn't meant to be ordinary. Life is meant to be super. And we have settled for ordinary, and we've called that mature. Life is meant to be super. If you are not living a super life, you are living below the level that you are created to live. Your life's supposed to be super. If I said that and you're like, well, I don't think my life's super. Well, then start dreaming again. Start thinking about what it would be like to have these greater powers working in your life. You're called to be a hero. And you're called to have power. And you're called to be super. God created Adam and Eve. And he created them and made them to rule over the animal kingdom. They ruled over the animal kingdom. Long before Aquaman ruled over the sea, they're just ruling over all of creation, right? I imagine they could tell lions to sit down, roll over, play dead, and they did. They ruled over all of the animal kingdom. So think about that for a little bit, all right? They had dominion over the entire earth. That means they told the earth what to do. That's kind of crazy. That's a superpower right there. They had a superpower given to them by God. They had powers over lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my. All right. God used a little boy named David, and he was a shepherd, and he used him to take down a giant warrior. What was that giant warrior's name?
Goliath.
Good job, Sunday school teachers. Somewhere a Sunday school teacher just smiled. All right. You talk about super. David walks out onto a battlefield. He's a little kid, and he's facing this huge giant warrior. And that giant has a spear, and he has a shield, and he has a sword, and he has huge armor. And David looks right at him and says, "You come to me with a sword and shield. Somebody help me. But I come to you in the name of the Lord." He got a hold of some superpower, and that giant went down that day. And there's this guy named Jesus. Heard of him? Heard of him?
Yeah. Right.
And he gathers 12 guys around him. And these 12 guys turn the world upside down. Read it in your Bible. It actually says, these are they that have turned the world upside down. These 12 guys turned the world upside down. They did miracles, and they spoke the truth of God. And Jesus told them, and he tells us, Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you. Will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. They walked in that super power. See, God creates people not to just live ordinary lives, but to live super lives. It's all throughout the Bible. That is the major theme of the Bible, that God loves you and he's got better for you. That is the entire theme of the Bible right there. None of these people got the memo that they were supposed to live quiet, ordinary lives. So why are we? You're called to be super. And God has placed gifts and purpose inside of you. Yeah, every one of you in this room. The heart of a hero beats within you. So dream a little bit. Dream like a kid. Think about what it would be like to have a superpower at work in your life. I want to talk to you about a superpower that I believe God has placed inside everyone. Here it is. Vision. Look at somebody, say vision. That's the superpower we're going to be talking about today. It's important that we start right here with this one. Vision is the ability to see. The ability to sense a need or sense danger. The ability to see people for who they really are. The vision to see better choice and a better future. Vision is a superpower. And I believe God has placed vision inside of you. There are a few comic book characters as examples. Oddly enough, there I was told by Scott, he's our comic book nerd around here. Also, Marshall Blessing. All right. Oddly enough, there's a character named Vision. But his vision is not one of his powers, actually. That's just the cool name they came up with him. Actually, he is an android that becomes intangible.
Yeah.
Whatever that means, right?
Yeah.
But here are examples of superpowers in comic book heroes that have vision. Yeah, Professor X. Who's Professor X? Do y'all know who Professor X is? It's the bald guy, played by Patrick Stewart in the movies, sits in a wheelchair. Professor X has this machine called Cerebro, and he puts this thing on his head, and it's this helmet, and he uses his mutant power telepathically to think, and he senses everyone in the world and what they're struggling with and what they're thinking at the moment. He can sense it. He's got a vision for that. He can understand anyone and see anyone on the face of the earth through this machine. And then there's Superman, right? He can see through anything but lead. Anything but lead, he can see right through. And then Spider-Man has this spider sense, right? That alerts him when there's danger around. There's a character in the Bible who actually kind of exemplifies all this rolled into one. He has the power of vision. His name is Nehemiah. We're going to be talking about him today. Nehemiah was an Israelite living in exile in Babylon. What's exile? Well, generations before Nehemiah, a rebellious Israel turned away from God. And when they turned away from God, they turned away from his protection. And they were ransacked by the Babylonian Empire. And they carried most of the Israelites away from their homes, from their homeland, and made them slaves back in Babylon. So when we say exile, it's not like a vacation. It's bad. It's enslavement. It's being thrown away from your life and your life basically ending. Nehemiah is one of these slaves. In fact, Bible scholars think it is likely that Nehemiah was born while he was in exile. In other words, he was born in this condition and he never knew the freedom that his predecessors had. He never knew the freedom to walk through Jerusalem and see all the wonders of Jerusalem. He never had a chance or an opportunity to go anywhere near the temple of God. He never had an opportunity to walk through his homeland and see the Red Sea. He never had an opportunity to see any of those things. He was born in slavery. And his job as a slave was a cupbearer. He was a cupbearer. What's that? Well, it is a cushier job than most. It's not like he had to lift heavy objects or anything. He carried around a cup of wine. But basically, he was a poison detector. How's that for a job? You think you have a bad job. He was a poison detector. That means he would taste the wine, and if he died, yep, there's poison in that, and he'd fall over dead. That was his job. So the next time you complain about your job, think about that, all right? One day, Nehemiah heard word that the city of Jerusalem, the capital of his homeland, was laying in ruin. He heard that the walls and defenses of the city were destroyed and that the few people that lived in the city were in constant danger of attack. This was a city that had no future. What did he do? What would Nehemiah do in this situation? Let's look. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. What do you think his response would be? Verse 5, look at this. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. What do you think of this response to the news? Does that seem like a superpower, superhero thing to do? Oh, he sat down and cried. Does that sound like a superhero thing to do? Nehemiah was nowhere near the city of Jerusalem. In fact, he was roughly 700 miles away. Yet it was like he could see the city of Jerusalem. Remember, Nehemiah was born in Babylonian captivity. That means it's likely he had never been to Jerusalem. He had never seen Jerusalem. He had only heard stories of the city, but never laid eyes on it. But here, we see that something is happening inside this cupbearer. He senses a city in trouble. And Nehemiah receives more than information about Jerusalem. He has a vision. And it moves him to tears. Superman, with his sonic hearing, can hear someone cry for help. And in the TV show, he would say, "This looks like a job for Superman." Cue the music, turn on the fan so his cape's blowing in the wind, and there you go. He's off to save the day. He would spin in and out of a phone booth and he'd go and save the day. And then Batman would look up into the sky and he would see the... Or he would get a corny phone call on the bat phone on the TV show. Really corny. All right. And he knew when he saw these things, he needed to act. And the X-Men would spring into action from their lair, from that little college they were in, whatever that is. And They would, when they saw they were needed, they would go. That's what superheroes do. Superheroes see the act, see the need, and then they act. Look at somebody, say, superheroes see the need, and then they act. But every superhero needs vision. I'm sure there's some comic book nerd in here already pushing up your glasses and going, "Yeah, but what about Daredevil? He's blind." Right? There's somebody in here. Shame on you. Even Daredevil, though he was physically blind, was not blind to the needs around him. Also, it was a terrible Ben Affleck movie. All right. Nehemiah saw the need, and the need caused him to sit and cry. So what's heroic about that? I want you to listen up, superheroes, because you have experienced this before.
Yes, Lord.
I guarantee you that you have had a Nehemiah moment just like this. There have been a time in your life where you are aware of a need. And there was something that kind of perked up inside you that said, someone needs to do something. This isn't right.
Jesus.
It shouldn't be like this. Somebody ought to go do something. Now, it is so easy to pass the need off to others. One of the major ways, even Christians, I've heard Christians pass off this need in America. They do this. Well, the government needs to handle this. Let's just hand it off. What that is that's a handoff. My friend, you are the one sensing the need. There's a reason you're sensing the need. Sometimes we complain that no one is doing anything about the problem. We've done that before, haven't we? We do that. Superheroes, though, when they see the need, they spring into action. That's what they do. They don't assign blame. You know what assigning blame does? It wastes time. You want to waste your time? Just assign blame. Can I help you a little bit? That'll save your marriage a little bit. Stop assigning blame. You're wasting time. You having problems with your kids? You could stand around and assign blame on it. But that would just waste time. If you're worried about America, if you're worried about your city, if you're worried about your neighborhood, stop wasting time by assigning blame. Go out and change the world. That's what superheroes do. They don't assign blame. Someone is in need of help, and they know that they need to do something. Are you with me today?
Yes.
Maybe you were watching TV, and a commercial came up about a child in a third world country. You've seen those commercials? And there's something that like kind of grabbed your heart a little bit. You ever feel that? That was a Nehemiah moment. You said, oh my gosh, they're starving kids. I have more than enough money. I could support several kids. And you felt that. But you probably grabbed the remote really quickly and changed the channel because you didn't like that feeling. You felt emotional about it and, oh my gosh, I can't do this. I mean, we're watching TV. I can't have an emotional moment in front of my kids. Come on, men. We think that way. Stop it. I can't act this way. I'm with my girlfriend. I can't act this. I can't let a tear come to my eye over a silly commercial. Oh, come on now. Maybe you saw a need in someone else's life. Let's get off that TV commercial. Maybe you were walking around and you saw someone else in need of help. And you felt like maybe you should do something about it. Maybe you walked away from that moment, but it still kept being in your mind. You couldn't get away from that thought in your head, gosh, I should have done something. And the rest of the day, it was tugging at you. Go back, they might still be there. You felt that. What was that? That was a Nehemiah moment. That's what was happening to Nehemiah. The need. He saw the need. 700 miles away, he saw the need. Although he had never seen the faces, somehow he could see the faces of hurting people in need that were in danger. And there was something in him. It caused him to stop, to sit down, and to cry.
Jesus.
What is that about? Far too often, we quickly change that channel. Far too often, we quickly change the subject. Far too often, we just act like we didn't see the homeless person there. Far too often, we do these things. We avoid the feeling that comes with seeing the need. Can I tell you something? There is a feeling that comes with seeing the need. All throughout the New Testament, it says that Jesus saw the multitude and he had compassion on them. When did he have compassion? When he saw. Can I tell you that that wasn't just a word there? There was a feeling that gripped the heart of the master right there. There was a feeling Can I tell you that same feeling would attack, would grab a hold of the heart of Peter when he walked around by the lame man laying by the side of the gate. And he said, I will not pass by this guy. I will talk to him. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto you. And he picks him up and that guy's healed. That's an X. Do you feel the need? Are you avoiding the need? Are you avoiding the feeling that comes with the need? Nehemiah sat and cried. When was the last time you let the broken situation around you bring you to tears? Come on, Redemption Church. When was the last time we had a burden that moved us to prayer where big tears just fell from our eyes? When was the last time we let all the horror and all that's bad going on in the world, when was the last time we let that bring us to a place where we just sat down and cried? That's what Nehemiah did. Can I tell you that superheroes cry? Superheroes cry. Crying isn't a weakness. Let that sink in. You need to believe that. Crying is not a weakness. Feeling the pain of others, it's not something to avoid. Dreaming of making things better is not a waste of time. Vision will sometimes bring superheroes to tears. Nehemiah saw the need, and he sat and cried. He didn't just sit and cry. You know, we fall in this habit sometimes. Sometimes we sit and we have that need a little bit and we feel that emotion a little bit and then we walk away from it. Some of you have come down to an altar before where you felt that wonderful feeling, but then you walked out and you were unchanged. Nehemiah shows us that superheroes don't just see the need. They don't just feel the need, but they do something about it. Vision doesn't just see the need. It also sees a solution. Vision is full of faith. Vision sees a problem, but it doesn't just see a problem. It sees a better future for someone. It sees a possibility. It sees hope. That would be a pretty good superpower to have in this world today, don't you think?
Yeah.
Proverbs 29 and 18 tells us this, without a vision, the people perish. People are dying. They are wasting away to nothing for a lack of vision. People are perishing because of lack of vision. People are perishing while we stand around and do nothing about it. We're the ones with the vision. We're the ones that see. There are people that they keep doing the drugs. Why do they keep, why are they in this cycle? Why do they keep falling in this addictive cycle? What is it? Because they don't see a better future. And if they don't ever see a better future, if someone doesn't come to them and show them a better future, they are going to perish. So, if a hero never sees the need, then it really doesn't matter what superpowers they have. Are y'all with me today? It's kind of heavy in here. Y'all just being really quiet. Think about the greatest superpowers in the world. If you have the greatest superpower in the world, but you don't sense the person dying over here, you don't see the need of this person dying over here, then what good is the power inside of you? Can I speak to some people that are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? What good is that Holy Spirit if all you do is go to church and you never help anyone else? What good is the power of the word that you have hidden in your heart if you don't ever do anything about it? If you don't ever follow what it says? What good is that? What good is the superpower if we don't see the need, if we don't let it affect our heart? The gifting and ability need to come in contact with the need. If Superman doesn't have vision, if he doesn't see the need, then the superpowers of Superman will just stay dormant inside of him. I would tell you that the most Christian nation on the face of the planet has the power of Christianity laying dormant inside of us. You have power on the inside of you. You have a gifting on the inside of you. You shouldn't let it stay dormant. You shouldn't let them be unused. There is a reason God has given you power. We read in Acts 1:8, he gave them power to become witnesses. See, always God gives you power to do something. Not to just say, look at me. God loves me. I've got power. There is a reason you have these superpowers. So you need to find that reason. You need to put them to work. Clark Kent has to turn into Superman. He's not much good as Clark Kent. The world is full of Clark Kents who are refusing to transform into Superman. And all the time they're called to be super, but they're choosing to be ordinary. So what does Nehemiah do? Here's what he does. He puts his life in danger. That's what heroes do. Sure, he cried, and then he put himself into danger. He, a slave, went to the king and asked to travel to Jerusalem. No, just stop for a second. He asked the king. Do slaves have any right to ask a king for anything? No, but he went to the king, and he had a conversation with the king, and he asked the king, let me go to Jerusalem. You know that nation that you destroyed and you destroyed this city? Let me rebuild that city. That's what he asked. He put himself in danger. Kings could kill or imprison people for less than that right there. The king grants him his request. And Nehemiah travels back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls of a broken city. Now, Nehemiah, what was his profession again? Oh, yeah, he was a wall builder, right? He was a construction worker, right? He was probably a big, strong guy, always working out, right? What was his job again? He was a cupbearer. Let me stop right here. Because sometimes we see the need, but we're like, oh, God, there's this need, but that isn't my gifting. Yeah. I'm not called to do, I'm not talented at that. I'm much better at this over there. No, wait, you wait a second. Because Nehemiah didn't use that excuse. He could have sat down, had himself a cry, and then said, man, it's so sad that there aren't any builders around here I could tell about this story. He didn't know construction, but he went anyway. He didn't know what he was doing, but he went anyway. Can I help you a second? You want to know this unbelievable feeling that I can never shake in ministry? Here it is. I don't know what I'm doing. There it is. There's the secret. I'm going to tell you, I have no idea what I'm doing sometimes, most of the time. I'm preaching things and I'm looking, and right now I'm preaching at some of you and y'all look asleep on me. And I'm like, what am I doing? What am I doing right here? I don't know what I'm doing, but I know I'm called to do this right here. I don't have to understand. And sure, I'm not great at these things, but God, if you're calling me to this, if I feel that need grabbing me and drawing me to this, I will follow you all the way into it. Can I get an amen in the house of God today? See, Clark Kent needs to turn into Superman. And although he didn't know how to do construction, although he didn't know about leadership, and he had to lead that entire city, he ends up leading that entire city. He didn't know how to do that, but he did have a vision. He had a vision, he saw the need, and he saw a better future. And he believed in a God that could connect these far between things. Do you believe, Redemption Church, that there is a God that can connect the needs of this world to a better future? And do you believe he can use you to help connect that? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? I believe it in my heart. So will you go anyway? Even when you don't know how, will you go anyway, superhero? Will you go anyway, even if there is danger, even if there is risk, even if someone might think you're stupid for trying? Will you go anyway, even if you might fail or you might be misunderstood? Will you believe? Will you go anyway? What's the first word of the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19? Go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus. Can I tell you, there is not enough go in Christians today. When was the last time you just had some go in you? When was the last time God actually talked to you and you just went? You didn't offer him this, you know, our terrible excuses, our arguments with God. Oh, God, I can't do that right now. I've got an appointment. You know, I need to do this. And I don't know what I would say. I can't quote scripture very well. And what is that? That is brake lights. That is stopping. That is not yielding. That is not going. I challenge somebody, even if it doesn't make sense, just go already. Go. I love it when superheroes use their powers for the first time. It's always great in movies. There's usually a whole sequence of events and it passes over time and there's corny music in the background. I love it when superheroes use their powers for the first time because it never goes perfectly, does it? It never works very well at the beginning. Peter Parker, as Spider-Man, had trouble controlling that webbing and sticking to walls. He would fall off, and that was the part of the movie where everyone laughed. What is that? That's him going and it not working perfectly. And Tony Stark destroyed a lot of Iron Man suits, right? Right? Amen. Preach, Pastor, preach. Trying to be super, he destroys all these things. Superman seemed pretty clumsy as a kid, trying to control and harness his superpowers. See, I love this part. I love that part of superhero movies because although they've got this ability and stuff, they aren't great all the time at using it. That gives me some hope. We are just like that. We're a little clumsy. You can have great power in you and still be clumsy. That's how I know you're called, right there. It takes a while to harness the power of your gifts. You may fail more than you succeed, but don't give up. God uses first-time superheroes. Two things matter, and I can't find anything past these two things. Here they are. Number one, you see the need. Stop passing the buck. Stop making arguments. Stop, you know, just saying that you aren't the one. No, you are the one. You see the need. That's number one. You feel the need. You see the need. That's one. Number two, you have the gifting. You have a gifting inside of you. Even if it's just seeing the need, right there is all the gifting that you need. There is something you can do. Man, if every Christian that hears me right now would just go out and do something good in the name of Jesus, you would see people come to know Jesus. You would see change happen. You'd walk into a great, powerful anointing if you would do those things. Because those are the only two things that matter. Your list needs to stop at two. You see the need. You have the gifting. I don't have the gifting. You have Jesus. That's the gifting. You have the gifting. We're going to be talking more about the gifting over the next few weeks. But for right now, everybody said right now, I want us to see the need. Before we can ever walk into the power that God's got for us, we got to see the need. We got to wake up and see it. Superheroes, do I need to tell you that you're needed? It should be painfully obvious that you're needed in the world today. You're needed in the home. Oh, yeah, you are. You're needed in your school. You're needed on your job. You are not just going to make the grade. You're not just going to pay to get a paycheck. Those things are well and good. Do good at those things. But no, you're a superhero. There is someone in need. You're called for greater than that. There are so many needs that it is safe to say wherever you are, you're needed. That's how many needs there are in the world. You're needed in your church. You're needed in your city. You're needed in your nation. You're needed all over the world. I'm so happy that Shelton's over in Zimbabwe. He is needed there. He felt a need all the way from Dallas Metroplex and went to Zimbabwe. The other day, our friend Randall McGuire was walking around a mall, and he's just walking, minding his own business, going to buy some athletic gear, and he walks by a car with a baby in a car seat laying on the pavement, on the parking lot. The baby was just right there. He could have just walked on. But he had vision, and he said, wait a second, this isn't normal. Somebody needs to do something. He picked up his phone. He called the police. That mom had somehow wandered off without her child. That was vision, Randall McGuire. You saw the need. You stepped into the void. That's some superhero power. Are you walking past needs just like that? And sometimes the needs are just that simple to fulfill. Sometimes it's just somebody, like a waitress, waiting on your table. And she just needs to know that she's cared about. I waited tables. I've gone through shifts, right, Linus, where you just feel like no one cares about me at all. I remember one day I felt like that. And this man walked in with his family. And he said, hey, you're doing a good job. Can I pray with you? And I was like, what is this? And the guy just prayed for me. And I just felt so cared for. I just felt so loved right there. And that guy was not just a customer. That was a superhero right there. He swooped in and he saved the day. There's so many needs that it is safe to say wherever you are, you're needed. I want Katie to come. We're going to be drawn to a close. But there's hunger all throughout this world. And do you know that there's actually enough food to feed everybody in the world? Yes. Most of it is that first world nations are consuming all of it. Yes. If we would give to third world nations, no one would need to go hungry. Somebody ought to do something about that. Why don't we do something about that? How about disease, fighting disease? We've had missionaries come here and they've told us that just a $2 piece of medicine would keep worms from growing in little children and killing them in Haiti. You got $2? You could do something about that. We'll get you in contact with Todd Lugley right today. You just ask. We want to do it. Education. There are people all over this. You don't have to look far to find people that can't read. You don't have to look far for people that don't know English. Maybe they know a second language. They know the first language and it's not English. You could help them. It's not hard. Maybe it's friendship. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's adoption. This fact blew me away and it's got me and Sarah praying heavily about the future of the Fluitt family. Maybe we need to adopt. Here is a staggering statistic. All of the adoptions in America, and all the foster home system, all of that huge thing. There are so many kids that are in foster homes that go through the entire system without ever having a family. They live their entire life in that system. That means they never get to spend a night out on the town and feel what it's like to have a mom and dad. They never get to feel that. And they hit 18 and they boot them out of the system. All right, kid, go find your way in the world. That's happening all the time. And more kids. And so here's the staggering statistic. Do you know what it would take to solve all of the adoption and all the foster homes to take care of all those kids so that there are no kids without families? You know what it takes? It takes this. One family in every third church adopting. I didn't say three families in every church. I said one family in every third church. What is the church called to be? What is pure religion, James says? To take care of widows and orphans. Man, somebody ought to do that. You need to be looking at the need around. I'm hoping, I'm praying right now. I've prayed all week that you would feel this gripping at you. That you would have a Nehemiah moment. Don't walk out of here without dwelling in it. Sit right in the middle of that moment. Let tears flow from your eyes, Redemption Church. Nehemiah's story is amazing. It started with vision. It ends with we built walls and a city with a future. Maybe the church of Jesus needs to sit and cry a little bit. Maybe we really don't need to be that involved in politics like the church has tried to be. Maybe we need to sit and cry a little bit. Maybe we need to sit and pray. Maybe we need to sit and be moved to reach for our wallets, to be moved to spend our time. Maybe we need to spend some time being moved. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. We've worshiped today. And then we've received the Word of God. That's number two. And then number three, we're about to do. It's time for us to come talk to God. And in a short moment, we're going to open this altar for a time of prayer. And I encourage you to take a step from your chair today. That means you don't even have to step all the way down here. I just encourage you to take a step today. Could you take one step today from your chair? And when you take that step, I just want you to tell the Lord, okay, God, this is me hearing the word, and this is me responding to it. I'm going to do something. Could you do that today? I challenge you to do that today. God has something for you to do. I want to invite you to spend some time dreaming. I want to invite you to spend some time thinking about the hurts around you. Spend time asking God how you can make a difference. I want you to stand. I want you to come. I want you to purpose in your heart that you're going to do something to change the world. You're going to do something. You're not just going to sit around. You're going to do something to change somebody's life. You're going to do something to change your home. You're going to do something to change Redemption Church. You're going to do something to change Plano, Texas. Come on, Redemption Church, come on. It's time to talk to God. It's time to let Him speak to us. Lord Jesus, we love you.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.